my Workday Playdate peeps, and welcome to Workday Playdate with Improve It. I am Erin, your work bestie with a microphone. So today we are talking all about the secret sauce that separates a meh talk from a mic drop moment, baby. Okay? It's research. Okay? And I'm not talking about boring textbook research. I'm talking about fun, human, Nancy Drew, detective level research that helps you speak to the right people in the right way. If you have a keynote, if you have a town hall, if you have a lunch and learn, or you have some team meeting coming up where you have to present, this one will save your hide and your slides. So let's set the table. So your message lands where it should, right in their hearts first, and then in their heads, all right? So just first and foremost, if we've never met, I am Erin Deal. I am a professional keynote speaker. I've been keynoting for about the past 4 years. And if you're listening to this in 2025, it's been 4 years. I own a business called Improve It, which is Workday Playdate with Improve It. We use improv comedy to train on power skills. And we call ourselves an improv-infused talent development company for the new generation of work. But our main objective is to help people be the highest versions of themselves through play. And so I've been facilitating workshops for about 12 years at this point and keynoting for 4. And no one likes a bragger, but we have officially coerced over 51,000 professionals to chicken dance, which means I've officially spoken to 51,000 people, not at one time, over a series of time. But I wanted to give you that background just in case we haven't met so you can understand where I'm coming from when I am talking about nailing your keynote and researching your audience. So what happens when you don't research your audience? When you skip this part, when you skip the audience research, 3 things are going to happen super fast. Number one, you solve the wrong problem, okay? You talk retention where your room is bleeding onboarding. Number two, you miss the language. You sound like a third party versus somebody who is coming in who really understands the culture of that group. You might say customers, they say members. You say sales, they say development. Micro mismatches break trust. Micro mismatches break trust. And you also, number three, lose the room when you do this by minute 5. Literally, if you're in 5 minutes into your talk and you have just blatantly just jumped over the fact that you are talking to this group of individuals specifically, they start to glaze. Eyes start to roll back in their heads. People start getting on their phones. You feel it as the presenter. So don't make this mistake. I've been there. I've done that. I'm going to help you get through this. So I want you to think about how we can use research, because no research equals low relevance. Low relevance equals low results. So here's what happens when you do research your audience before you jump in. Now, I'm saying keynote. Again, I want to preface. This is for anybody in your organization. So if you have a presentation you're giving to C-suite and you don't know what their objectives and goals are, major miss. If you have a presentation internally and let's say you're in account management, but you're giving a presentation to marketing and you don't think about what they want to think about, miss. So when you do even light research, everything changes, my peeps. So number one, you lock in to their real pain and their promise, and that turns heads. At Improve It, because we are training people on soft skills, people call them soft skills, which are actually the hardest thing to teach, we like to make sure first and foremost that we are coming in as a painkiller. We are solving a problem. We are not a vitamin, a nice to have. We are solving a pain point in your business, and that is why you're hiring us there. So number one, when you research, you are helping unlock their real pain. Number two, you mirror their words. And when you say things that they say, oh my gosh, it builds such instant rapport. I'll tell you what, I just did a keynote a few weeks ago in Chicago for a company we love so much. And they make manufacturing equipment for restaurants. And I just remember in the first few seconds, I threw out a couple of pieces of jargon that my client had given me previously. And from that moment, literally 3 minutes in, they were with me. They said, oh, she did her research. Oh, she knows we have level 10 meetings. Oh, she knows that we have this big slogan that we use every day. And so that right there creates instant trust. Number three, when you do even light research, you design examples that they feel like they are inside of their daily world. So that boosts buy-in and action. When they can see themselves in the story, there is instant rapport. You're instantly taking them on a mental journey where they can see and feel and hear and even sometimes taste what you're talking about. This is actually a tool from the improv stage that we use called specificity, when you can call out a specific thing. So if I said the word candy bar, okay, what comes to mind for you? For me, it's Snickers. And when I talk to you about Snickers, and I'm like, that crispy little nougat and that crunchy little peanuts and those little caramels, and I think about what Snickers means to me, I think about, oh my gosh, I used to have a Snickers bar and a Coke when I would go with my family when I was young to a Clemson football or basketball game. And that was my snack. And that was one of my treats, was getting my Snickers and my Coke. And then I would be the happiest person. So literally just the word Snickers took me back to my childhood. Okay, you might go somewhere else with Snickers. And what it does is it creates this emotional tie-in or buy-in to the story. So when you can help them see themselves in the story and you've done enough research to know what that story is, you're automatically gelling with that audience, all right? So I'm going to give you 10 steps. Actually, I got an extra credit. I got an 11 and 12 here for you today to research, okay? I want you to grab a pen because these tips, I promise you, are tried and true. Don't make mistakes that I have made. Take these, use them, nail your next presentation because I promise you, my friend, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, these are from years of experience, from failing, getting back up, and trying again. So here is step one, all right? The two-call ride is what I'm calling this. So we want you, I want you, to talk to humans before you talk to a room. So get on a call or a Zoom with at least two insiders in that organization or on that team or on that leadership team within your organization. I want you to have a decision maker on that call and one human who is on the front lines doing the work. And I want you to first understand what success would look like the day after your talk. So when I leave that room, what does that look like? What does success look like for you? And then also understand what would make the audience roll their eyes, okay? I want you to write down exact phrases. So you want to avoid the roll your eyes, obviously, but what success looks like is what you are going to achieve, which we call it improve it, the ROO, the return on their objective. It's not the ROI, it's the return on their objective. So you're getting really specific with whoever your point person is, and then somebody who is actually doing the work before you go into the room. We do this before every workshop, before every book talk, before every keynote, anything we do, whoever is leading that session gets on what we call a consult call with our client. Usually there's somebody else from the team with them so we can understand clearly their objectives, their challenges, and get more inside information on their day to day. All right, that's step one. Step two, you are going to stalk with purpose, okay? Now, some of you are like, I don't want to be a stalker, and I totally get that. But I want you to click like a detective, not like a fan, all right? You're Nancy Drew, all right? You're Inspector Gadget. You are looking through the files. You're skimming the org site. You're looking at their annual letter. You're seeing if they have any press releases, any LinkedIn posts from the leader who will introduce you. You want to collect things that matter to them. It could be values. It could be mission statements. It could be priorities. It could be projects they're working on, but you want to have that knowledge. And let me tell you, when you come to the table with that knowledge or ask when you're on that two-call ride, hey, can you send me your values? Can you send me your mission statement? Can you send me something that could give me a little insight into what you're working on right now? Number one, the client or whoever your main point of contact is, their eyes just light up like, okay, great. I know that I got to pay attention here. She's paying attention. She's trying to incorporate everything we do into this talk. I love that. And here's a fun fact for you. I literally incorporate a company's mission statement or values in every talk I do. And let me tell you, they remember that the most. I'm teaching all these principles. And the one thing they remember is, oh my God, she had that entire slide that tied everything into our mission. This is mission critical. Stalk with purpose. Okay. Here is step three. You want to get a pulse check survey. Let the room write half of what you're there to teach. Okay. Send a 5-minute pre-event survey. Here are some sample questions. All right. What is the hardest part of your ideas right now? What do you wish leaders understood about you? And then ask them, finish the sentence. After this session, it would be a win if I could blank. And don't have them put their name on it. Let it be anonymous. And then receive that information. So before every workshop we do at Improve It, we actually have a pre-work video that uses our hilarious improvisers at Improve It. We have 20 of us from all over the country who are improv trained, seasoned improvisers. They are doing a 3-minute video on the soft skill we're coming in to train you on of how not to do that soft skill. So it's comedic. You get to get to know us, you see us in action, and then it leads to a pre-event pulse check survey. We take that data from the participants and marry it with what we're doing in that two-call ride or that consult call. And that's what we use to tailor the workshop for that session. So let me just tell you, when you do this, not only are you setting the audience up for what you're about to train them on, number two, they're getting to know you before you come in. Number three, it shows that you value their time and your time. And number four, you have so much more to work with. So I really suggest doing this before you even start to write your outline or when you start to memorize and get comfortable with the material, have this information with you. All right. Here is step four, avatar triad, okay? Here's what my suggestion is and what I mean by this. I want you to write for three real people, not a crowd. So right now, you individually, you, my human, listening to this, are listening. Just you. But actually, there's a lot of you listening at the same time. All over the world. And instead of me talking to all of you with different jobs, different industries, different occupations, different countries, I am talking to you like it is solely you. And I actually have an avatar for you. If you've never heard me say this, we call you Kimmels at Improve It. We know who you are. You're people leaders. You care about the people you lead. You are either a leader in an organization or a solopreneur or some type of entrepreneur building a team, but you deeply care about the work you do and the people around you. So for you, my Kimmel, my peep, I want you to define three audience avatars. All right. So maybe you're talking to an organization. And or an association, and you can say, okay, there's some newbies, some emerging leaders, some people right out of school who I'm talking to. There's somebody mid-career, and then there's people in the C-suite, and those are usually the decision makers. I'm going to speak to those three people. And for each, I want you to list one pain, one hope, and one quick win. All right. One pain, one hope, and one quick win. And I want you to build an example of each avatar into your talk. All right. So let me just do this right now for you, my peeps, my Kimmels. All right. So right now I'm on the show, Workday Playdate. And there's probably some of you who are newer in your career. There's probably some of you who are mid-career, and there's probably some of you who are extreme leaders within your organization, all right? So here I go. One thing that I can do is one pain and one hope. So for you new emerging leaders out there, your pain point is, I'm not satisfied in my career. How am I finding a career that works for me? My hope is that I find a job that fuels me both personally and professionally. A quick win for me would be giving me tips and tricks on how to do that. Within the context of this conversation, I'm hoping that you can help me win over a room, whether I'm in an interview or whether I am in person talking to my current position and wanting to move ahead. All right. So then my mid-career person, you are figuring out how to do the messy middle. You're in the sandwich. You're leading up. You're leading down. So that's a challenge for you. You're caught stuck in the middle. So one hope would be that I give you some tips and tricks on this presentation of how to research your audience so you can speak to the higher level because that's where you're wanting to go. And my C-suite, my upper management, my experienced peeps listening to this show, you feel like you got the weight of your world on the shoulders and you have to talk to your organization and to your associations and give talks that appeal to everyone. And your biggest challenge is sometimes you're too high level and you forget that they're in the middle, they're in their beginning stages of their career and you want tips and tricks on how to do that. So a quick win would be, how do I research my audience so I can speak to everybody in the room while also managing, running the organization, making sure we hit our P&L report and budget is fine and everybody's happy. How'd I do? That was just off the cuff. That was just shooting from the hip, peeps. So write three for real three. Let me say that again. And I don't edit this show. So let me just say it again. Write for three real people, not a crowd. Okay. That is your step four. Step five. I'm calling this the KPI X-ray. KPI X-ray. Speak to the numbers that they get measured on. So ask before you come in, what metrics matter this quarter? What are they focused on? What does success look like numerically? And tie your promise to those metrics. So we will cut rambling updates by 30% and shave 10 minutes off weekly meetings by doing this. All right. Talking to those KPIs gets straight to the bottom line. We're going to give you some stories. We're going to give you some insight. We're going to give you some data, but we're going to talk to you about what matters most. That's how you get measured on success. So looking through all of the smoke and mirrors to find out what their KPIs are and speak to that in the presentation. Step six, called this language mirror. So say it how they say it. Swap your jargon for theirs. So instead of saying customers, maybe they say clients, or maybe it's an association and they don't say customers or clients, they say members. Soft skills to people skills. We use soft skills. Sometimes people call them people skills. We say training. Some people say workshops. Use their verbs on the slides and in the stories. And I promise you it will hit home. This is something that we do on our consult call very specifically. We get really specific about their jargon. We say, we know we're a third party coming in, but we want to be as specific to you as possible. Here is step seven, story scouting. So borrow their world for your examples. Let's say you have a generic story and you want to give this to this group and you're speaking to a room filled with manufacturing people. You're not going to have a conversation about sitting in your desk all day because this is a manufacturing company. They're working on the line. They're helping make parts. They're helping put things together. So if they run a warehouse, your persistent story becomes a pick path story. If they run patient care, your feedback story becomes a bedside moment. You take those stories that you have, but you put it into their terms. You scout how you can change that story for theirs. Now, here is step eight. Call this spicy constraints, okay? Build for the room you actually have. So check the format. Are you hybrid or are they in person? Do they have round tables or do they have theater style? Is it quiet in their culture or do they have a lot of energy? So plan on an interaction every 7 minutes that fits that vibe. Usually my talks have interaction almost every slide, but I know for some quieter groups, I'm going to pull back. You can do polls for quiet rooms. A simple like show of hands is a great way to poll people. You can pair shares for hybrid. So if there, some people are sitting in a room and on Zoom and you have some people in front of you, you make sure you tell those people on Zoom, get a partner. You make sure you tell those people in the room, get a physical partner that's standing next to you. And then you can add in some elements for stretching and building that energy, but you want to do it within the constraints of that group. I always like to know what the room looks like before I come in. I ask if possible to send me a picture or just like the what is it called? You know, the thing, the picture of the room. Joanna Gaines does this all the time. Whatever it is, that thing that has where the tables are in the room. You know what I'm talking about, babe. So figure it out before you go in. I don't like surprises day of, so it's best to know before you go. Here's step 9. I'm calling this one the resistance map. So I want you to name the objections before they do. So before you get into the call that you're going to have the two-person ride, you can list 3 likely pushbacks, okay? And that's based on the content you're presenting on. Things that could be constraints or pushbacks are like, not enough time. This won't work in our industry. Leadership will never go for it. And I want you to ask the client and the person on the team, are these likely the things that they will say in terms of the content I'm presenting? And then in your story or in your keynote, address each one of those pushbacks with a story, a statistic, and a step. Step number 10, all right? This is called the 33-30 test. Here it is. I want you to prove it fast, then deepen it. So you're going to craft a 30-second intro or a hook that nails the value. You're going to build 3-minute proof with quick examples and data points. And then you're going to expand to a 30-minute arc with interaction. If the 30-second version feels weak, keep researching. This is how I build all my talks. I'm going to give you a solid intro. You're going to feel something in that intro, and I'm going to tease you about what I'm going to teach you about. I'm going to share with you what the problem is and the epiphany on how we're going to solve it. And then in that 30-minute arc, I'm going to teach you 3 things. And then I'm going to wrap it back up with what I taught you in the beginning. That is literally how I format all of my talks, how we format exactly what I'm teaching you here today, and how I want you to think about keynotes and presentations moving forward. Okay. That first 30 seconds, though, literally has to gain their attention and gain their trust very quickly. I have my own techniques. Use yours. Okay. Here's step 11. Cred check. All right. I want you to validate or delete. I want you to run your outline past your insider contact or by a friend who you love and trust. Ask what feels off, what feels hot, what is missing, and edit without ego. Let me say this, especially in the keynote space, keynotes are much different than workshops. When it's a workshop, we are teaching, but when it's a keynote, I'm using examples from my own life, which makes it feel pretty personal. And actually, Christy, our director of talent here at Improve It, is now keynoting, and I'm helping her build hers. And we're both just kind of laughing on how vulnerable it is. It's a whole different thing. Instead of being in the room on the floor with a partner and a co-facilitator with our workshops, we're on the stage. Everybody's looking at you for an hour. And so when you edit your content, sometimes it feels personal because you're editing things about your life within your stories. And so I've had to really learn to let go of that, to drop the ego and just understand that that feedback is only going to make it better. And the reason my keynotes are the way they are today is because I've had clients edit, I've had my team edit, and then I've edited. And it has really taken that finessing and that feedback to get it where it is today. Now, here's the final step. Close the loop. Give them the first next step. So end with a simple action that is tailored to their world. Give them a template, 1 checklist, or 1 script that they can use tomorrow. And if you can tie it back to their KPIs, what success looks like for them, you have won the room, my friend. We like to give at the end of every one of our sessions some sort of takeaway that they can download. It gives them things to think about. It reinforces what we taught. So at the end of our workshops, we have an e-learning course built in conjunction that, again, does the same thing. So close the loop and tie it to their KPIs. So I just want a quick break to level up your delivery. If you want to feel confident before you hit the mic, our presentation skills workshop here at Improve It is your physical playground. It's highly interactive, high energy. It's led by our seasoned improv facilitators who believe in one simple thesis statement: positivity plus preparation equals a productive presentation. You'll learn how to exude positivity before you even sit down to prepare and present. You'll understand how your emotional state drives your performance, and you'll use your natural style to prep smarter and communicate clearly so you can actually connect. I want you to join us on Zoom for 50 people for 90 minutes, or bring it to your peeps in person for 100 people for a high impact 2-hour session. Grab your spot, bring your team. Your next presentation starts here, and you can learn more in the show notes or on our website, learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com. All right, so let's recap really quick. No research means low relevance and low results. Light research unlocks real problems, real language, and real buy-in. If you use this 12-step playbook to make it easy and repeatable, I promise you, you will make the room happy, you will leave with impact, and you, my friend, will feel good that you've given this group of human beings something that they can use in their daily life. So here's your homework, my peeps. I want you to book that 2-call rule this week for your next presentation. I want you to set up time with the person who's leading that group and then somebody who's doing the work in that group. Number 2, I want you to send a 5-minute pulse check survey to your next audience. So get on, we use SurveyMonkey, use SurveyMonkey to create a small survey and get a pulse check about your audience before you enter the room, and then write your 33-30 hook. All right. And your proof and your arc. So 30-second hook, 3-minute proof, 30-minute arc. Read it out loud and trim. And if you're feeling feisty, get somebody to help you edit. So here's some extra credit for you. You can swap 3 words on your slides to match their language. And remember, it's things like members, not customers, workshop, not training, people skills, not soft skills. So my peeps, you just turned yourself into a keynote detective. The trench coat looks good on you, my friend. Remember, research is kindness. When you learn their world, you earn their attention. If this helped, I want you to share it with a teammate who has a big presentation coming up and hit follow so you never miss a play date. I'm Erin Deal. I believe in you. I see you, and I cannot wait to hear how your next talk lands. I'll see you next time.